Back live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as we continue to prepare for Atlanta United and Cincinnati on this Memorial Day weekend. Sunday night soccer at the Benz. Mike Conte, Jason Longshore. Joined now as we are before each home game with Atlanta United President and CEO Garth Lagerwey. Garth, thank you for joining us. You were the subject of a multi-part feature in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this week. A couple different articles about the state of the team. You have been very transparent with us on these pregame interviews over the last couple weeks on what you think has gone on with the team. I know, obviously, we're all disappointed in where the team is right now. Without making you repeat everything that was written in the newspaper this week, maybe you could just summarize how you're feeling about the team at this point now with 20 matches to play.
Look, what I would say is, you know, we're not as good as we hoped we would be. That's on me. That's my responsibility. And you know, what doesn't do us any good is trying to point fingers and try to work out what broke down. It's my responsibility. In particular, Chris Henderson is a new sporting director, and Ronnie Dyla is a new head coach. We have had problems getting to stability here since I arrived. Again, that's on me. But the solution to three coaches in 3 years is definitely not four coaches in 4 years. Right. And so Chris and Ronnie are going to be here. They are making progress in sorting this out, and we're going to support them in every way possible. And in the meantime, any mistakes have been made in terms of the composition team, by definition, are mine, because I'm the one who's been here.
How do you find that balance in a situation like this of, you know, obviously you want to make changes in the short term, whatever you can, and right now you can't do it in terms of a roster, but you want to do things in the short term to affect better results. But there is a long-term plan that you want to follow. How do you find the balance between the two and support Chris and Ronnie?
Yeah, look, you guys know me at this point from 3 years of doing the show. I'm always long-term and I'm always strategic, and that's the nature of this gig. That said, we just have to win a game. Yeah. You know, when you are at this stage, when you're down and you're not confident, you got to win a game. And it doesn't matter how it happens, but until you win a game, you know, it doesn't matter what your plan is, right? I mean, it's the old Mike Tyson quote, right? Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. We've gotten punched a couple times. We got to get up off the mat now, and we got to get off the mat. We got to prove we can win a game. Once you do that, then other things are possible. But honestly, win a game, then win another game, and that's what we have to do. And what I would say is we're going to go for it in the sense of tie-in games, in particular at home, is not going to get us enough points. We know we have to play at or above 1.5 points the rest of the game, per game the rest of the way. That means that we have to win. Certainly, we got to win home games, but we got to win road games too. So, yeah. I don't think you'll see us settling for ties.
Well, you're approaching the halfway point of the season. Obviously, the window doesn't open for almost two full months. Are you at the point right now where the decision-making process is already underway on what you would want the team to do in this next transfer window? And have you identified specific areas that you hope to address?
Yeah, we want to go back to our core principles and strengthen the spine of the team. If you have your strongest players in the middle who are on the ball the most often, that's most likely, from a statistical data standpoint, to yield positive outcomes over time. So the core beliefs haven't changed. The core approach hasn't changed. We've made offers to players in those positions, and which doesn't mean that they're going to accept them. You know, that this is right at the beginning. The season in a lot of places is winding down right now. So now's the time when we get started, and people consider their options. But we are in at the beginning with the hope that we can get things done in June, with the hope that we can get visas by July, whereby, you know, and again, I don't want to say on June 1 we're going to have, like, that's not how this works.
Right.
But we are pursuing multiple players. We have multiple possible solutions, and we have urgency. We are going to try to get it done. Now, we're not going to sign a player we don't believe in, but we're going to try to get something done sooner than later.
Does the club have enough financial flexibility? And I know that's a term that makes some people in Atlanta cringe, but I'm just using it because it's the best term I can come up with. Does the club have enough financial flexibility where it could go out and sign multiple players in this upcoming transfer window who could make a difference?
Potentially. I think we got some hard decisions ahead. You know, the easiest thing for us remains if we have guys that play well in those big positions, then we want to be invested in them. We want to keep them. We want to have a stable right. group. And if at some point we have to make changes there, we'll make changes there. I mean, those obviously when a team underperforms, you have to be willing to make some of those hard decisions. And look, long term, do we have flexibility? We do, but we're not going to mortgage the future in, right. in terms of, you know, 10 games in one season.
Right.
We're still going to take and look, you can do both. You can bring players in the summer and say, hey, they only have 10 games. But we're making significant investments because we believe they're going to be here for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that's really the criteria of if you believe the players are going to be there long term, now you can make commensurate investments to make sure that you get the right players in.
In terms of where they're
and we tend to be clear, Mike, we do have the ability to do that.
Good.
Do you have to move players out to have that flexibility, or do you have it already?
It would be better. One right. in, one out would be okay. better. Just from an efficiency standpoint.
100%.
If you think that you're signing a new player in a position, ideally you'd want a player out in that position because you know we have a full roster right now, right? So just numerically, it's going to be most efficient on the cap. So now can you spend against next year's cap? You can. That's and my point is that scenario where you're looking at players over the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. But it would be better, for sure, if we are one in, one out in the sense of able to create more flexibility. And, like, look, did we get better when on the last day of the window we traded Zonde? We didn't. Objectively, you can't lose a player and be like, we're better now. What it did give us, though, Jason, was flexibility.
Right.
St. Louis took that whole salary on, so we know we have at least some room to start, and that was really, really important because we wanted to be urgent in the summer and be able to say to everybody, we have this much. We have ways of creating more. But we at least have something on the table to start with where we know we can bring a player in.
How important is it as an MLS team in this situation? You mentioned seasons ending in other parts of the world. How important is it to be proactive and be early in the process now and start in that conversation for these players as opposed to waiting to clearing space and then getting guys at the end of those windows?
Yeah, look, what I would say, Jason, is we can have plans, but we don't control, right?
Of
because
course.
A lot of these guys who are really good players, when you're talking about bringing in guys making seven figures and coming from good clubs and stuff like that, they're going to have options. And the point of getting in early is to say, hey, we really want you. From a recruitment standpoint, here's our new training facility, here's the stadium, here's the fan base. Show them those pictures, those images. You know, the recruiting part of Atlanta United is one of the easier pieces. But then they have to weigh that against the other options that they have. And again, if they don't have other options, then I'd be more concerned. So what I would say is just because we approach early doesn't mean we get an answer
of course.
Early.
Right.
But that's the point of being there first where we're saying, hey, you know, you're one of our top choices, and we are really serious about this, and this is a really, really exciting opportunity. Particularly when you look at what's happening in Atlanta over the coming years, the Club World Cup this summer, World Cup next summer, and we believe probably a prominent international tournament every summer going forward in Atlanta, in this building, in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So I think there's a lot to get excited about when you start talking to players, but none of that guarantees that they will want to commit at that time because most of these guys we're talking to are coming off of a 10-month season.
Sure.
All right, one end on this. We've talked a lot about the realities of the club right now. We all agree this is not where we want it to be. That said, it's not 100% bad. I'm wondering if you could identify maybe one or two things that has happened over the first 14 matches of the year that you're happy about.
Look, I don't want to be so doom and gloom. I think that we've had a tough time with injuries in the back. And if you look at our injury rate, it's actually not abnormal. We've just had all the injuries in one position.
Right.
And so it's felt really doom and gloom in the back because we haven't played. I think we played the top – our starting four defenders on paper before the season, I think, have played together for 75 minutes total. So I do think that if you want to look at a positive – that simply can't go on forever. We're going to get guys back from injury. We're going to get a stable group out there at some point, and that will help. We do have the ability to add players in the summer to this group. And if you look, too, Mike, at where we were at the end of last year, the group was in a good place. It was capable of beating Miami in the playoffs. And I think that's still what we hope to come back to is can we get healthy in the back? Can we get stable in terms of how we're going to attack? And then can we add a piece or two in the summer that allows us to take this team? So, look, if you want to distill it down, what's the most positive thing? the ceiling on this team is still very high. Now, the floor has also been lower than we hoped.
Of course.
But the ceiling is there. The talent is there. And again, I know talent's a dirty word at this point, and I totally get that. We have to perform. We have to demonstrate it. No one wants to hear us talk about what the potential of the team is. I get it. I agree. We got to go win. And that's why, Jason, to where you started, it doesn't matter what our long-term plan is right now. We got to win a game tonight, and then we got to try to win Wednesday, and then we can roll the plans out after that.
Well, we'll talk to you again on Wednesday. We'll see how things have come along in a short span of time. Really do appreciate your willingness to do this with us before every match, and your transparency is always very much appreciated.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Garth Lagerwey, Atlanta United's president and CEO. We'll be back with more of the Five Stripes Countdown after this. Atlanta United and Cincinnati tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.